and do it through the eyes of the temple priest. Going to turn down the lights a bit. Well, again, let me say shalom to my friends. My name is Eliab. I'm a priest in Israel of the tribe of Levi, of the lineage of Aaron, and the brother of Moses. I'm a servant of the Lord in the temple at Jerusalem. Think with me, if you will, just for a few moments about Jerusalem, the beloved city of God, the city that was founded by the great King David, and the city that is really the center of all activity in the world today. Our land in the days of Roman rule was a day that was very troubled. The Romans, when they came, brought unrest and heavy taxation upon the people of Israel. Our people were very troubled, and our people were very, very hurt by all of the tensions and the things that arose from the political and the religious leaders of that day. Tensions were felt in the areas of the temple, in the worship, in the area of our own civic leaders, and in the area, certainly, of those that were of Roman rule who coerced our own citizens to even be involved in taxing their very brothers in the Lord. But there was financial hardship, governmental pressures, religious division, and some of our own folks, even from previous days, had tried to have political uprisings against the government. But as soon as those things would happen, they were crushed immediately by the Roman government. There were many of our own people that were good men and good leaders, but they were put down by the many Roman rulers that were tyrannical and heartless. Such was a man by the name of Herod that lived in those days. They called him Herod the Great, but it wasn't because he was a great man. It was because he was greatly to be feared. He dealt with all political opposition, religious turmoils, and even the criminal he dealt with in a harsh and a hard manner. But the times were hard. People were troubled. And it seems like that there was no hope for us on the horizon. Even in that day, The very chosen ones of God were troubled and hurt and burdened by all the things in the land. It had been, through a series of events, upwards of 400 years since any of our people had heard even a word from the God that we worshiped. Oh, we tried to worship. We maintained the worship. But it seemed like all of the prophets, all of the men that God had put in our lives to help us at some time, now there was nothing. It was fruitless. It was empty. It was vain. And it was a tough day. But it brought about an expectation and a hope. I would say all mankind understands that. That there are days when the hope is there before you, and the promises are there. And certainly, the people of God had those promises before them. We saw in the Scriptures. We realize that our prophets, even the great prophet Isaiah, prophesied that God would send His anointed one. And we've looked, and we looked, and we looked, and our hopes and our hearts were broken. Oh, but let me get back to my story in my day, and what happened at this particular time. You see, one of my duties in the temple as a priest was to receive families that came in. And those families would many times bring their firstborn or any child that they had born to them, and they would bring them to the temple. The Scriptures told us that every man-child that was born was holy unto the Lord. And he had to be brought before the priest, and even the girls were brought before the priest to be blessed and to verify their name and their part in the people of Israel. So my duty, one of my duties, was to receive such families as this. And one day, there was a family that came before me, and as I talked with them, it was a man named Joseph. And it was a girl, his wife, named Mary. And as they came, they had a baby, and they had named him Jesus. See, the Jewish custom is this. When a child is born, there is a seven-day period that the families must wait, and then for all the male children, they were to perform the rite of circumcision. And at that time, they presented the child with a name. He was not named before that, but the story from these parents was this, that they had had an angel visit them, and they told them many days before his birth that his name would be called Jesus. There was no one else in their family named Jesus. The father was named Joseph, and many times the firstborn son was named after his father, or at least maybe his father's father. But this child was named Jesus because the parents said they were so directed. So they brought their child, this child Jesus, they brought him to me. And as I said, my job was to receive them and to bless them and to perform a little ritual with them to let them know that he was a child of the people of Israel. While we're there, and as we're going through our ceremony, they presented two small pigeons and two turtle doves. They were to do this because the law of the Lord was, generally, if a family was middle of the road or well-to-do, they offered a lamb. But those families that were poor were instructed to offer two turtle doves and two pigeons. And that showed me that this family was indeed one of the poor families in all of Israel. But they had such bright smiles. They had such a keen awareness that this baby was somebody special. And they presented him to me. And as the mother was standing there before me, she had the child in her arms. And we were going through the regular part of our blessing when all of a sudden, a man that was known to many of us in the city, we had seen him many, many times. He was an aged man. He came in the back doors of the temple, and he began to come directly toward where we were. There were other priests. There were other duties. There were other things going on, but he came directly toward where we were. And he was there and made a beeline right for that new baby. It was a man that we all knew. His name was Simeon, and he looked at this mother and dad and came to them. And he said, "The Holy Spirit of our Lord has directed me to this place today." And as he began to talk, he took that baby out of the arms of the mother. He took that baby and he received him. And he said, again, "This is of the Spirit of the Lord." He said, "The Lord has promised me that I would not see my day of death until the Lord let me see His Messiah." We were all shocked. Let me tell you exactly what he said. He took that child in his arms and he blessed that child with these words. He said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. We were all startled. We were all shaken at this unexpected act of this man that seemed so calm and excited about what he was doing. He began to look at the parents then next. And you know what he did? He blessed these parents. He told them how blessed that they were of the Lord to have this child in their care. And then he spoke these words as a prophetic saying about this child. He said, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." And then he looked at the mother and he said, "Yea, and a sword shall pierce thy own soul also." And then he said that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Then, as suddenly as he came, he was gone. He just came in and he spoke what he spoke and he blessed the Lord God of Israel. He blessed the child. He blessed the parents. And then he was gone out of our sight. A very strange happening. But at about the same time, one of the ladies that had been there in the temple for many years, a widow that all of us priests knew because she had attended, and she had helped, and she had worked in the temple of the Lord for 80 years nearly since her husband had passed away. She had been a widow many years. She came in about the same time that Simeon did, and she looked at the situation that was going on, and it was as if the Lord had spoken to her also. And you know what she said? She began to praise God, and she began to thank God for all that he had shown her in the birth of this child, because he would be the Redeemer of the people of Israel. And again, we were amazed. We just certainly understood that it was strange, but it was a sign of somehow from heaven. And that's what Anna said. She said, "This is given as a sign to those that are looking for redemption here in the land of Israel." It was a strange day indeed. But can I tell you, it was one that absolutely changed my life. Again, I say, my name is Eliab, and I am a priest of the people of Israel. But do you know what the name Eliab means? Eliab in the Hebrew, the name given me, not for necessarily to me to know, but my parents, that God touched their hearts and they gave me the name Eliab, which means God is my father. And my parents certainly saw something on the day that I was born. Do you know that there are many interesting names in the Bible? I mentioned that I was of the family of Levi, or the tribe of Levi, and the family of Aaron. And Aaron and Moses were brothers. And Moses' names mean to be drawn out because he was drawn out of the water. Oh, listen, there are many. The name Daniel meant beloved of God. And my name meant God is my father. Oh, and let me tell you, from that day on, I understood. Before, as a priest, I thought, God is my father. That's what my name means. God is my father. And I thought, I'm serving in the house of God. And God has many things for me to do. And God has me placed in duties as a priest. But on this day, when Simeon came and when Anna stood up and praised, oh, it let me realize that there was certainly something unusual going on. And then I began to think about my own name. God is my father. And these people say they've heard from God. Simeon said the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Anna began to praise and thank God because it spoke to her about his son coming down in the little tiny flesh of a baby. And I began to think, what could that mean for me? I say my Father is God, what my name is. But is God really my Father? Would God speak to me if I really knew Him? Oh, and it seemed like, my friend, that there was nothing there that had ever seemed to speak to me. As I mentioned, it had been seemingly eons, 400 years between the time of the last prophecy of the Word of God until the day that these folks came into the temple. And there was no word. There was no vision. There was nothing that said that God was speaking to His people. But then, when this child was born, there was a voice. There was a very voice from heaven that spoke within the depths of my heart that said, God is your Father. But will you have Him to be your Father? And then as I began to explore all of that, I began to think about God being the Father of all. And as Simeon began to say, Simeon said that he was given this word of prophecy and said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And I began to think, if Simeon's eyes saw the salvation of God, then surely my eyes have seen the salvation of God. And when I saw the salvation of God, I realized that that salvation was in that tiny baby that that little mother was holding in her hands. And it began to grow in my heart. And Simeon said that I have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Oh, can I tell you, it began to speak volumes on the inside of my heart that God had given His Son to us as a babe. And then I remembered that Isaiah had written those words some 700 years before that he prophesied that a child would be born and a son would be given unto God's great people of all of Israel. But then I began to remember that this is also what Simeon said. He said it was a light. He said he had given a light. Do you know what a light does? A light dispels the darkness. And I thought that the people of Israel have been in the darkness for, lo, these 400 years. Not a word from heaven, not a prophet of God, not a man to stand and proclaim. But now God has begun to bring the light into our lives. He said it was a light, but He didn't just say it was a light for us. Simeon said it was a light to lighten the Gentiles. It was a light to lighten the Gentiles. Oh, we as Jews think of Gentiles as dogs. We think of Gentiles as somebody not to be even be listened to, somebody that deserves no respect, somebody that is very much beneath our even dignity and thinking. But the man that came in with the Word from God, and we needed the Word from God. It had been, as I said, 400 years, and God was seeming to present a Word. And that word said that this babe was a light to lighten the Gentiles. But also he said this, it was a light that was the glory of the people of Israel. Oh, and that is one of the greatest blessings that there is that this babe began to be the light. That babe began to be the light. He was shining and giving glory to the people of Israel. And the glory was the glory of the Lord. Do you realize that God's glory had not been on the nation of Israel for many years? One of our very ancient prophets by the name of Ezekiel had prophesied about seeing the glory as it left and went up into heaven, as he prophesied and wrote in his part of the scriptures. And as he wrote those words, it was as if it had taken all of the hope, it had taken all of the grace, it had taken all of the mercy away from the people of Israel. But this day, when that little babe was there in the presence of that temple, which we thought was the shining light to all of the glory of Israel, here he was, and he was that glory of God. He was that glory that the Father God had sent to us. And he was a glory to the people of Israel. I am so glad that the scriptures explain to us in the Old Testament that God's glory was eternal. Moses saw God's glory. We understand from the book and the writings of Moses in Exodus how that the glory of God came upon Moses in the mountain, and how that Moses communed with God and God put a touch of the glory onto his face. And as Moses descended from the mountain after communing with God, that the brightness of that glory was so great that he had to cover his face with a veil to even speak to the people. Oh my. And when he came down, the glory of God still shone on Moses' face for a great while. That's the kind of glory that the people of Israel were looking for. And as they had let that fade, as it had pushed away, as it had gone, now, here's a man that has come on a mission from God and spoken to all of our hearts and told us that God had sent a light in this tiny babe to lighten the face of the Gentiles and to bring the glory back to Israel. The only problem with this was that many of my brothers, many of my fellow priests, told me that it was all just for nothing. They said, oh, he's just, that's a man that doesn't understand. Oh, he's deceived. He's not right. You don't need to listen to him. As a matter of fact, they tried to tell me how confused and how much that Simeon did not know rather than what he did know. But can I reveal to you that something went on in my heart? And I began to listen. I began to hear. I heard about this child. And he began to grow. He began to be able to be in favor. And as I watched, I saw him grow through the years. And I saw him at one point go to the very temple back in Jerusalem years later. And you know what he did? He debated with the great scholars and teachers of Israel. And he understood and knew the scriptures as well as they did. And they couldn't understand. His parents had missed him. And when his parents came to pick him up, they looked at him and told him that they had missed him and that he should not do those things and he should follow and obey his parents. And he looked at them and said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And then I further understood, this is a special child. Can I tell you today that through listening to all of those things about this blessed young man, that I realized I too had seen the Lord's Christ. I saw that babe that was born of a virgin woman. We all doubted that story. We all were not sure. There was much griping and complaining from amongst the normal people about who that boy's father really was. But as I listened and as the Holy Spirit of the Lord revealed in my heart, I believed that he was the Redeemer of all Israel. He had come to redeem his people from their sins. And then, as he grew older, I continued to follow. Again, some of my fellow priests would shake the head. They would shake the fist. They were hardened in their speech toward him, and they did not believe that he was who he said he was. But God is my Father. And in believing that God is my Father, I believed that his Son had came and had dwelt among us and had planned to come and grow up among us and show us the very glory and truth of our Father God. All of the nation of Israel, all of the nation of Israel will claim that God is their Father. As a matter of fact, they'll pronounce it very plainly and very solidly that Abraham is their father and that God is with Abraham in everything he does. But may I explain to you that Abraham was certainly the man of God, but Abraham was the man of God because of his faith. He had faith in the Father, and the Father blessed him, and the Father led him, and the Father took care of him. Father promoted him, and he went to a land that God had promised him. And in this day, we were in that land. And in that land, it wasn't the land flowing with milk and honey. It was the land of hardness, of trouble, of uprisings, of revolts, of Roman government and rule. But the peace of God came upon our city of Jerusalem. And the name Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, means city of peace. And the city of peace received the babe of peace one day. And when they did, he came to bring peace for all men. I heard the stories of those that said the angels came and sang to a group of shepherds on the hillsides. I heard the stories of how those same shepherds went and heralded his birth. I heard those stories. And at that time, I could not believe them. Who could believe a bunch of old shepherds? But then that day, when I saw him and when Simeon opened my eyes with the words that he said, God is my Father. And with God is my Father today, may I tell you that Jesus is my Lord. And I believe that God, my Father, sent his only begotten Son that all mankind could be saved. He blessed us with a great blessing in sending that tiny babe that night, that day, to the temple. That night to the stable, that day to the temple, those days following when he came to me. Today, we're certainly blessed and taken care of by the Lord God of heaven. And I trust that you tonight may know him as well. If you don't know him, if you don't know him and all of his grace and his mercy, this would be a good time for you to come to get to know him and be blessed by being united with me. As I said, my name, Eliab, means God is my Father. Do you want God to be your Father too? God can be your Father if you'll come and receive his Son as your Savior this evening. And when you do, oh, you become part of his family. I only thought I was part of his family before. I only thought that I had a name, that God was my Father. You know, many have that same belief. Oh, I was born in Israel. I am a Jew by birth. I have this. And many, many of you, the same thing, because of this country, because of my beliefs, because of my parents. That does not have you a place in heaven. The only way you get there is when you know God is your Father, because you have received His Son. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come if you would. Let's get ready to sing a song this evening. We'll sing a song, and fellas, if you will turn the lights up, give us that light back, we will ask everybody to stand with us. We're going to sing a song, and if you need to come pray about any matter, we'll give you that opportunity right now. We'll just sing the invitation.